Hey, I'm Emily Chenevert, advocacy nerd, Peloton enthusiast, wife and mama to two, and CEO of the Austin Board of Realtors. Every day, real estate is changing, so we're taking it to the experts to unpack major topics that you need to know about to be successful in this business. Scratch what you think you know about this business and listen up for a fresh take on an old industry. Technology friend or foe? It depends on who you ask and how they use it. I sat down with Jeff Turner, the entrepreneur in residence with National Association of Realtors Reach and Second Century Ventures, to talk about this. Is technology leveling the playing field, or is it making things better for those who provide real intrinsic value in their businesses each day? We started with that question.
I think it's a more complicated question than is technology, you know, air quotes around technology, leveling the playing field. I remember a conversation that took place at the T3 conference a couple of years ago. We were in the midst of some big rollouts with Real Satisfied, which is a company I helped to bring over from Australia.
Just a little company just that did well.
little company that did well. And a CEO of a major brand walked up to me and he said, "Wow, you know, you're really kicking some butt." I said, "Yeah, when are you going to sign on?" He goes, "Oh, I'm just, you know, I'm afraid that everybody's using you, you know. I'm afraid that everyone's using you, that it'll, you know, it won't differ." And it's a survey product, for God's sakes. And I'm
afraid your success might actually kill you.
So my instant response in that moment, without even thinking, was, do you use Microsoft Word? Do you use Google Docs? I threw out a couple of pieces of technology. I go, "You realize your competitors are using those too, right?" Mm-hmm. I go, "Your differentiation has nothing to do with technology. It has nothing to do with the tools. It has to do with the way you use the tools." Mm-hmm. How one broker uses the data that's returned from this technology is completely different from the way that another broker is going to utilize that same data. And for certain kinds of technologies, the people who first get into that technology may have some slight differentiation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But in the end, we create the differentiation in technology ourselves. The way I use my phone is different than the way you use your phone. The things I say in a text message are different than the things you say in a text message. Technology enables it. Has technology leveled the playing field? In the strictest sense of the word, well, yes, of course, we all have it. It's the leveling the playing field portion of it that I have this fundamental disagreement.
It's the connotation. By providing technology to at brokerage in ways that's more accessible than it was before, now all of a sudden they're all just equals in the marketplace, right, and everything's fine. But then what we've seen is in newer broker models, and especially those that feel air quotes disruptive to maybe some of our incumbent businesses, it's not technology that's actually led to them feeling disrupted. It's been things like the way that they recruit, or, you know, things that they offer their agents when they get them.
So I will say this, in the context of, you know, the MLS and the association, in the context of one technology company competing against another technology company, well, then of course your technology is a differentiator.
Are brokerages technology companies?
They use technology.
Yeah.
But I don't believe they're technology companies.
Right. Just don't tell Gary.
Well, okay. I mean, but even so, let's talk about Gary. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
So he builds his own AI-assisted chatbot.
Sure.
So somebody else, that's a piece of technology. Somebody else builds an AI-assisted chatbot. Does he lose his advantage? Sure. Does that mean it's leveled the playing field? It's the concept of leveling the playing field that I just don't understand how everything can be equal just because you're using the same technology.
Yeah.
It discounts humans. It discounts the unique nature of how a culture impacts your ability to compete. And I will place bets on culture over technology all day long.
Because do you believe that the technology just enables you to better focus on
That's
culture
right.
and better focus on your actual unique value proposition?
Great culture beats great strategy all day long.
And the technology can aid in that, but
That's
it's not
right.
doing the
and
do.
I believe the same thing is true of technology. A great culture that also uses great technology is just and has a great strategy is a winning strategy. But it's not the technology. And so that's why I'm saying it's kind of a complicated question, because you need to make certain you've defined all of your terms properly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even now, right? Yeah. So people listening to this are listening to it in a podcast. They can't see our faces. They can't see the smiles on our faces. They can't see my, dramatic arm gestures as I'm talking. Maybe they can hear a little bit the emotion in my voice. Well, what differentiates me from someone else talking about this?
Oh.
The words?
Yeah.
I mean, what is it?
Right. Well, it's your personality.
Right. And so...
your charming way. It's your... the tone and tenor of your voice,
perhaps? I think we spend so much time worrying about the technology differentiation that we forget that it's people that use technology.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's people who end up winning. Companies, brokerages, MLSs, associations... doesn't matter who it is, the real focus has to be on how do I make certain I have the best people with a culture that supports them, mm-hmm. gives them the ability to really shine, mm-hmm. and does it in a way that, makes them happy when they get done at the end of the day. And I think we spend so much time focused on the technology that we miss what the real differentiators are.
Okay.
So I don't buy for one second that any technology can truly be a differentiator unless you can absolutely prevent another single company from having it.
Yeah.
And then how do you make money as a technology company?
I think about the question in a similar format, but you have to think about the context that I come from, which is being the CEO of an MLS, which provides technology at large to an entire marketplace of people. And we're often faced with the question is, am I leveling the playing field between all of my different broker participants by providing this technology versus that one? Am I engaging in activity that really belongs to the broker and not the MLS?
Sure.
And so I think, I would agree that it's the way you use the technology and the way you incorporate it into your culture and into your unique value proposition for your client that makes it powerful. But we have this kind of interesting conundrum where if we're the provider of it, are we somehow enabling a competitive marketplace that we shouldn't be? Are we enabling more competition than we should be?
I mean, I understand where it comes from.
Yeah.
That's not to say I don't understand where it comes from.
Sure.
But it's taken to such... I'm going to preface this by saying I believe personally that it's taken to such an extreme that it becomes ludicrous.
Those are fear-based perspectives about what enabling the technology will mean for me and my brokerage.
Correct.
And I generally can say that any kind of business tactic that stems from fear is not one that's going to be healthy for you or successful.
I agree. And, a lot of my experience on this has been sitting on the side of the table where I've had to talk to a broker, mm-hmm. who is reacting either to the potential of a decision that their association or MLS is going to make about a piece of technology that I'm providing, or as a reaction to having it already been implemented.
Mm-hmm.
And in every single case, I've been able to talk the broker off the ledge and help them understand, how can you possibly believe that just having access to this technology is going to keep you from competing properly?
Right. Well, especially when you look at the proliferation of social media and marketing, everybody and their mother, mm-hmm. is accessing Instagram stories. Some of us are selling houses doing that, and some of us are
right?
And it's, yet we're so quickly accused of leveling the playing field when we provide a transaction coordinator. It's really interesting.
No, and it's even more ludicrous than that, because it happened recently. We launched a version of ImmoViewer that, takes photos and turns them into moving slideshows. Well, people have been doing this for years.
Wait, you're going to enable people to create video?
And so the only thing we were doing was basically coming in and saying, we think the product should be free. In fact, what we were saying by making it free was that it can't possibly be a differentiator.
Mm.
But because some brokers were paying unnamed companies a lot of money every month to do that, mm-hmm. they came in and said, well, if you give it away for free, that's a differentiator. No, it's saving you money because it's already not a differentiator.
I want to break this down. So they were complaining that if you were to provide the same service they're paying for free, you might somehow be ruining their business model.
That's correct. And I wish I were joking, but I'm not. And
right.
and so that and that's why I'm saying we it it gets taken to almost ludicrous extremes.
Yeah.
To where I'd rather pay for something that is not a differentiator in order to make myself feel like I'm giving something to agents. It's almost as if how do I say this without offending a whole category of humans? Any broker who's listening to this,
mm-hmm.
if you think your tech stack is the reason why an agent is going to stay with you, you've seriously missed the boat. I just don't believe it.
Do you think the angst, though, that they feel? Because I do think, I think the anxiety level around recruitment and retention has risen, undoubtedly. Especially when I'm in market with our broker community, I feel it with them. And I think that angst does create, you know, they're just reacting. And they feel like if they can react in a manner that is to create more technology and more fluidity in their transaction and more tools for their agents, that it's just a way to stay top of mind with them.
No, but what's the real win? The real win isn't that I put in the same technology as the broker down the street. The win is that when I train my agents, I train them in a way that allows them to use that technology.
Or better yet, I've got less technology, but it all works well together. That would be the real win.
The conversation needs to move away from this simplistic concept of technology being, you know, leveling the playing field to mm-hmm. a more nuanced conversation about what is the real value of mm-hmm. technology?
Mm-hmm.
How do I enable its adoption? So much technology is not used by the vast majority of the agents that it's provided to begin with.
Yes.
And so there needs to be, I believe, a better collaboration between the people who are practitioners in the real estate industry and those who are building technology to make certain that these technologies actually work, and that if they work, their mm-hmm. adoption contributes to the success of, you know, yes, to those individual brokers
mm-hmm.
who do it better than other brokers, but to the community as a whole as well. This industry does a really good job of co-opetition, and I think it's a good thing, because what ends up happening there is that those people who engender the greatest trust with their clients and with brokers, with their agents, they're the ones that win, and I think they should.
Okay, so I've been thinking a lot about how now technology is moving towards such customization, that I want an acute experience that was delivered just for me,
sure.
because Amazon can do it, so I expect everybody else to do it, which really means that it's not the technology that's the differentiator, it's your ability to retain customer data and leverage it that is the differentiator.
Yeah,
And so, like, there's even the conversation about is, like, your data cap is actually more valuable than your market cap now, right? So MLSs have the unique ability to access consumer data really holistically in their marketplaces.
Sure.
But if we return that back to our customer base, the brokers and their agents, are we somehow really leveling the playing field then? Because you're not just getting your customers' data, you're getting data points around the whole consumer, everybody in our marketplace. But is it, well, there again, the way you leverage it is what matters?
I do think it's how you leverage it
mm-hmm.
that matters. But at the same time, I think there's a way for you to return that data to the brokers in a way that there's no possibility for it leveling the playing field. I mean, I look at what the Texas Association of Realtors has been doing with data for the longest period of time.
Yeah.
You know, they've sort of married public consumer data and demographic data
yeah.
with very specific data that has been contributed by the MLSs.
Yeah.
Some of it has even been contributed by Real Satisfied in the state of Texas from a customer satisfaction standpoint. And their ability to marry that data, much of which has been anonymized,
right,
ends up being a real value to everyone without necessarily leveling the playing field. So the people who have access to the non-anonymized data
mm-hmm.
have the ability to access that and do things with it that they can do with it, non-anonymized.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who can use it in a different way, use it in a different way.
Right.
I think each one of the situations where data is being passed out have to be evaluated on its merits.
Mm.
I view data differently than I view technology.
Well, I think we're all learning to do that. Absolutely. I mean, with the way that privacy is being discussed and just consumer expectations changing around it, in some ways, culturally, we were ahead of our skis. And now we recognize, you know, that we went without boundaries.
Yeah.
And so I think our industry has not yet, though, had the conversation about where the guardrails are with consumer data as it pertains to their search or as it pertains
right.
to their experience in the transaction.
But I also don't think MLSs have done a particularly great job of collecting other types of data and marrying it together with the very unique data to create additional value.
Agreed.
Because just acting as a data warehouse,
yeah,
you know, there's no value in data that sits there doing nothing.
Well, now that we've spent the last decade, you know, standardizing our existing data, maybe perhaps we'll start to work on the layered data sets.
You think about the amount of innovation you might enable if you were able to package this data in really unique ways, even
yeah.
to the technology company.
I don't want to downplay the importance of the governance aspect of this, that
right.
there's a certain amount of trust that is necessary between a subscriber and participant and MLS
sure.
that will enable us to be that kind of innovative.
Sure.
And I think we have to kind of redefine our relationships a little bit when we're putting those guardrails up if we're going to really be successful in innovating on that front.
To that point specifically, it requires this kind of an open conversation about it. I mean, I realize this conversation is happening in a podcast, but I mean,
obvious, the best medium for this.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
Because nobody can, you know, interrupt us.
Right.
But if you think about where are these conversations typically taking place?
I minimally feel compelled to continue this conversation in every corner of organized real estate we can, because
right.
I think that the more that we talk about the things that make us uncomfortable, the more likely we are to push those boundaries and redefine our guardrails.
But it does take a bit of guts, maybe.
Gumption,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, we're continuing a conversation that we had in a private group.
It's true.
Right? Now, that this conversation could have stayed contained to that private group. But it's not.
Right.
But the only way that it gains power is to be opened up to more ears and to more ideas and to more voices. And does that make the private conversation less valuable? Does it level the playing field?
Oh, I see what you're doing there.
See, we're
no,
going,
yeah.
I don't think it does.
The conversation's definitely not leveling the playing field.
Right.
If any, it should be dispelling fear. That's not always what happens, but that's the intent, right?
Right. But in this case, you know, the best technologies, in my opinion, provide ability for more people to gain access to fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best technologies at their core are, yes, designed to level the playing field in one aspect,
mm-hmm.
but to do so only because the only thing that really should matter is how good you are as a human.
Hey y'all, I want to take a quick break to tell you about ThinkUp. ABOR is bringing a 2-day professional development conference to Austin on April 7th and 8th. This is a high energy experience and is not to be missed. We're bringing in major players in the real estate industry, such as Gary Keller, Hal Elrod, and our Scratch That alum, Joseph Rand. And we're announcing more speakers every week. I want you to come, work all day, stay all day, and we're going to bring immediate impact to your business. Go to www.thinkupaustin.com to learn more and register today. I really hope to see you there. Now let's get back to our episode. So for an agent that feels, though, overwhelmed by the amount of technology that's available both to them and then also to their client and consumers, what I sense is that they don't feel like their humanness, their, you know, how humane they are, is a differentiator any longer. And they're overwhelmed by that because they're just trying to stay above water and eat what they kill.
I know.
And so what do we tell them to make them feel a little more connected to, you need to be open to this conversation and...
You know, there's a statement that I use near the end of some of the presentations when I'm speaking, giving a keynote on AI or machine learning or something in technology, that says, in an increasingly automated world,
mm-hmm.
people who can genuinely connect with other human beings are going to be more valuable, not less valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think it's natural for us to fear these changes.
Mm-hmm.
Socrates feared writing because he feared it was going to dumb down. We would actually lose our ability to think,
mm-hmm.
because writing on a page can't respond to you. It right. just sits there on the page.
Right.
The
Industrial Revolution took all the jobs.
Exactly. Right. You know, I personally think Socrates was right, but it took Twitter for us to find out just how stupid we could be.
Oh, gosh. There was a gap.
There was a big gap. He was right, but he was off by several thousand years. My point is that in the end, human ingenuity and the uniqueness of who we are as individuals always end up being what causes the win. Mm-hmm. And so a technology may come in for a time and give someone a leg up, but in the end, it's always about who you are.
So then is the recommendation to that, again, that everyday working agent that might be feeling overwhelmed, that might be fearful about how to incorporate automation into their business or new yeah. technology, it's really, can you use that technology to actually create a more human experience, experience?
I think back to the early days of social media. I remember a lot of people who listen to this podcast may know who Tom Ferry is. Mm. Tom was late to the social media game. In fact, he didn't even own his own Twitter handle because he got to Twitter so late. Huh. Does it matter today?
Right.
It doesn't matter today that he got there late. Not at all. Because when he got there, what made the difference was him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think there's both this fear of technology and the fear of missing out of technology. And it's mm-hmm. that conflict that I think people are managing. They feel like they need to rush to the new technologies, maybe when they're not personally ready for it. But it's the same fear base. It's mm-hmm. it's both the fear that I'm going to be overtaken by it, but also the fear that if I don't do it, I'm going to miss out on something really significant.
Mm-hmm.
And there are very few technologies that you need to go fall on your sword for to be an early adopter.
Mm-hmm.
Let the early adopters do what early adopters do. And I think if I'm right, and I believe I am right, that ultimately that technology is not going to be a long-term different, and that's the key here, a long-term differentiator.
Yeah. So your advice is don't be reactive. Don't freak out if you're not there yet,
right.
and you're not using these technologies that some of your colleague friends are or that other brokerages have
That's
access
right.
to. Find a way to get there and leverage some of what's available
right.
to you in a way that creates a more human experience.
Don't make any decision based on fear.
Yeah.
Fear of missing out or being afraid to do it for some reason.
Right.
There's just settle into it and realize that you are the differentiator. Mm-hmm. Period.
I love that. That's an awesome place to stop. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Awesome.
Thanks. Thanks for tuning in. Like what you hear? Let's continue this conversation. Give us some love by leaving us a review on iTunes and let your friends know about the show by sharing this episode on social media. You can also follow along and tag me at M. Chenevert. That's E-M Chenevert. Until next time.